This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Wow, there is so much to get into today. Bill Maher has become Christianity's unlikely defender. I don't know if you heard what he said this weekend. Huma Abedin is working hard on her marriage. What? They apparently are still living together. She's working hard on her marriage after being burned by him four separate times. Apparently, when things get troublesome, he moves back in with his mom. It's an incredible story. You have to hear. Also, 10 human body modifications you can begin to expect in the next decade. You won't believe this story. Also, another story that kind of relates to it. Silicon Valley would rather cure death than make life worth living. The people who are diehard trying to eliminate all death in Silicon Valley. When it comes to politics, Steve Bannon thought he could bully the Republicans on health care. He couldn't. But now what happens? Donald Trump said it was the Freedom Caucus that stopped it, but the Freedom Caucus only had 15 members vote against it. The Republicans had 18 members vote against it. Whose fault was it? And the president is now saying that he's going to be moving left towards the Democrats. Gee, who would have seen that one coming? That and so much more begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have to shore up our principles and know where we stand on things. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. I want to go over something with Ted Koppel because he's blaming, well, as Hannity will point out, he's blaming Hannity for culture. But Ted Koppel is also blaming something else for what's happening in our world. And I believe he's wrong. And I want to have a discussion on this. And we have to decide what our principles are, because our principles are under attack. You heard an interview with Ted Poe today saying again that it was the conservatives that blew Obamacare, right?
Ted Poe is a congressman from Houston and
has always been
very conservative.
Yeah. And up until today, a member of the Freedom Caucus. But he has withdrawn his membership because he's upset that people said no.
But they had a right to vote the other way in the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
You didn't have to toe the line. The Freedom Caucus said, we understand if you need to go the other direction, go the other direction.
And again, and obviously there was not actually a vote held, but Poe was going to vote yes on the bill. And, you know, he said that we just can't be a party of no. We can't be a party who just disagrees just because we disagree.
Here's the thing.
Jeez, that sounds like John McCain.
Yeah, it does.
Here's what I really believe. We have to state over and over again for anyone who wants to blame the Freedom Caucus or anybody else. There was a bill to repeal health care. It passed the House 60 times. 60. Why did they not use the bill that went through the House 60 times? Reason? They didn't mean it. Some people meant it. You meant it. But when we said, they don't mean this, get away from the Republicans, they don't mean this, they're lying to you. What was said? We were traitors, we were sellouts, we were whatever. If that were true, we would have been wrong, because they would have taken the bill that they had passed 60 times while they were asking for your vote and support. And they would have reintroduced that bill and passed it again. Because I don't need to say this again, but may I? They'd already passed that bill 60 times. The only reason they passed it is because they were lying to you
about what they really believed. They are cowards. They pass it when they know it won't go to the president for his signature because they're all too afraid to reverse free stuff that Obama gave them. Obama gave the country free stuff, and nobody has the courage to say, I know, but this free stuff isn't really free, and it's going to cripple you. It's going to cripple our system, and it's not going to last. It can't last. They're afraid to do that. And so we were right about the Republicans. 60 times they repealed it. When they really could do it, they fail. And then the other thing we're right about is now, and I'm taking this from the Drudge Report, which is pro Donald Trump. This was the headline. Donald Trump looks to the left and looks to the Democrats for support. He's going to, and he tweeted it on Friday. He's disgusted by the conservatives in the House. And he's moving away from the conservatives and he's going to look for the Democrats. Well, what are you going to get if you are now bringing the Democrats on board and leaving the constitutionalists out?
And imagine if they had gone about this in a different way. Think of the alternate reality. They come out day one and pass the same bill they passed 60 times.
Yep.
Okay. Goes to the Senate. There are some procedural hurdles that could have been difficult, but let's say that gets through. Maybe it stops there. Maybe the president vetoes it because, you know, the president ran on a lot of big promises on keeping everybody's health care and pre-existing conditions and a lot of things that would have gone away with a full repeal. So he may have vetoed it. However, at that point, you probably can come back to conservatives and say, look,
we tried.
We tried. We did what we said we were going to do.
Yep.
And you know what? We can't get what we wanted. However, let's look for something that is better than what we have.
Yep.
And I think a lot of conservatives would have been open to that.
I would have been. They tried.
At least they tried. And you can't control everybody's vote in Congress, as we've seen. Instead, they started with a terrible bill that I would be really uncomfortable going with even as a compromise. And they started there. Then they gave a couple of concessions to conservatives very late in the process. And couldn't get it through.
And nobody really made the case for this bill.
And no one made the case. They didn't do it openly. Mm-mm. They didn't explain the process well. It was a terrible job. And then Trump, Trump comes out with this tweet about the Freedom Caucus where he says, well, they must let you know. I don't remember. Do you have the quote in front of you, Jeffy, by any chance? The Trump Planned Parenthood tweet basically says, oh, well, I guess the Freedom Caucus likes Planned Parenthood. I don't know if Donald Trump doesn't know the bill because every report this weekend said he was in meetings with these people who care about the details of this bill and says, don't sweat the small. He didn't say stuff. Don't worry about the. Don't tell me about the small stuff. All he wanted was a win. He knew nothing about this bill. In fact, it does seem that he had absolutely no awareness that the Planned Parenthood funding was only going away for 1 year. 1 year. This bill that was supposed to be this wonderful thing that Planned Parenthood was taking away, we're going to lose their funding, 1 year, and a simple restructuring of their organization even gets rid of the 1 year of the lack of funding.
Nobody said it was a perfect bill. Nobody said it was perfect. You can't get a perfect bill. If you're waiting for a perfect bill, you're going to wait a long time.
This is why we gave them the House, the Senate, and the White House.
And the executive branch.
Right. And you don't get a perfect bill. We'll never get a perfect bill. You're right. You have to compromise.
But we don't need to be eating turd burgers all the time.
Yeah.
You know, this is
from our side.
They're preparing us these turds and putting them between two pieces of bread and telling us it's not perfect. Could you at least remove the turd? Give me some peanut butter and jelly or something. A ham. I don't know. Maybe some cheese. That wouldn't be perfect either. A steak would be perfect, but I'll take the ham and cheese. It's so ridiculous what they're trying to jam down our throats here. And we're used to this from the Democrats, but
yes, we are.
We're just seeing that it's Republicans too. We're getting it from both sides.
Yeah, this is why. This week, I'm repointing the cornerstones of the Blaze and of us at Mercury as well, because we have to know what we stand for. And I won't go with straw arguments anymore. No more straw man arguments. I want to hear both sides. I want to hear the best ideas from both sides. I don't want to hear the... I want to be about the principles and the actual facts. If you get off the actual facts, I don't care. I don't want to be about an ideology. I want to be about the actual facts. Come what may, can we do that as a people? Can we get anybody to join us on that as a people? I mean, I tweeted on Friday, I had a tweet storm about this movie, The Promise. And I asked to see the movie and get a screening of The Promise. And so I watched it on Friday. It comes out April 21st, I think, nationwide. And it is about the Armenian genocide. The Armenian genocide is near and dear to my heart because Turkey continues to deny it. It's 102 years ago. It is the reason why we have the word genocide. Genocide was coined for that. Hitler said early on, I can get away with anything. Look, the Christian world didn't care about the Christians in Armenia. They think they're going to care about the Jews? Because the Turks continue to deny the reality that Turkey slaughtered 1.5 million people, took them out and just slaughtered them. We have all the evidence. There's no mistake that that happened. Clark Gable was supposed to be in a movie made by MGM back in the 1940s. And they were going to do the Armenian Genocide, which is 1.5 million Christians. And Turkey raised their hand and said, if you do that, MGM, you will never have another movie from MGM ever in Turkey, and we are going to influence the Middle East. You will have no impact at all, no footprint.
And they cared about that in the 40s?
Believe it or not, they cared about it.
That's unbelievable.
So they stopped making it. And it has been under the thumb of Turkey the whole time.
What, did like 80 cents come from Turkey in those days?
I know.
That's nothing.
So they didn't want a boycott from Turkey and Turkey gathering up a bunch of other people. Mm. The guy who bought MGM and died, I think, 2006, he bought MGM like four different times, bought and sold, bought and sold, bought and sold. He made a lot of money. He took $100 million and he said, we're making this movie called The Promise. Now, he's died since, but Christian Bale is in this movie. I saw it. It's really good. And it tells the truth about Turkey. How can we possibly trust Turkey as an ally if they continue to lie about genocide that happened 102 years ago?
Can't.
You can't.
We certainly wouldn't accept it from Germany.
We wouldn't.
Right.
If you're a Holocaust denier, it's the worst thing you can be called.
It wouldn't be in NATO if they were denying the Holocaust.
Wouldn't. These guys are Holocaust deniers. They are they do actually deny the Holocaust, but they are also denying their own Holocaust of genocide. So I tweeted out, you wouldn't believe the number of people that tried to make that somehow or another about Trump.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You wouldn't believe the number of people that found a way to make that about...
How is that about Trump? That's crazy.
You read the tweet.
People are just obsessed.
They're just obsessed with, if I'm for it, then it must be nothing because I was against Trump, whatever. I've had my fill of this. I think America has had its fill of this. I don't care. I really don't care if it comes from the left or the right, as long as it's true. If it's true, we will stand in the truth, period. Now, I don't see real truth coming from people who will deny gender. Have you seen that now the first driver's license has come out? of gender neutral. Now, let's just talk about this. If you're decapitated, your hands are cut off, so we don't have your fingerprints or anything else. How do we identify somebody? A guy is missing? Well, no, he wasn't a guy. He was neither. Well, I've got this body without any markings. He's got male parts. Was it a female or a male? Because it might be him. I don't know. He was neither. Well, those bodies don't show up, do they? We're denying Planned Parenthood. They're walking through and jumping through hoops to tell you now that that's not a baby when all of science will tell you that's a baby. All science tells you. It's not a shoehorn growing. It's not a unicorn growing. You're not going to have broccoli or a calf. There is only one thing that grows in a woman's uterus. Two, a tumor which doesn't have a heartbeat, or a baby. Anything else, a denial that that is anything other than a tumor or a baby, is a science denier. I refuse to be a science denier. I refuse to be a denier of facts. Let us have honest, intellectual, rigorous discussions. And if you don't want to be a part of that, then you should ask yourself first, why?
A quick update, Obama during the campaign. I will recognize as president the Armenian genocide. Two terms, no recognition.
Nope, nobody does. Nobody will. Turkey's too important. No one is more important than the truth.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So, in a report from Mike Allen, sources said that Steve Bannon's first words to the Republican members was that they had, quote, no choice but to vote for the health care bill of President Donald Trump. Quote, guys, look, this is not a discussion. This is not a debate. You have no choice but to vote for this bill, end quote.
Wow.
A lot of people didn't take kindly to that.
No? You don't think an elected representative of the United States government is going to go in there and just bend over like a Breitbart editor for Steve Bannon? That's surprising.
Now, Steve Bannon apparently has told the president to keep a crap list. I'm cleaning that up. Of people that voted against it.
Oh, good. Just like Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Nixon. That's great.
Yeah. And Nixon. An enemies list.
It's probably worth noting who held firm in this.
It is. Who's on this list?
Some great people on that list of guys who just said no because this is not good.
Badge of honor.
Not a good bill.
Yeah. And by the way, it was not, again, as we pointed out, 15 conservatives, Freedom Caucus members, 18 Freedom Caucus Republicans. Okay, so it was actually more people who were not in the Freedom Caucus, even though that's what you're going to hear about all day today. But good names. I mean, Dave Bratt, Jim Jordan, Justin Amash, Louis Gohmert, Mark Meadows.
Louis Gohmert, always there.
Mo Brooks, who still has my favorite interview moment of all time.
Yeah, we should play that.
That's the one where he says, they said, what are you?
You have an economy degree?
Yeah, a degree in economics?
Yes. Actually, with honors.
Highest with honors, yes. Yeah. Thomas Massey's in there as well. I mean, there's a great group of people, and there are some. We have to remember there are some holding the line, and that's good.
And we need to support them because they are now on a White House enemies list. Support those that stood up and had real backbone.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We were looking at reverting into a depression at that point. Everyone, the Fed chairman.
Well, I disagree that we were going into a depression, but go ahead.
Do you have a degree in economics?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Highest honors.
Okay, so
I love that.
One of my favorite moments of all time.
Yeah, you don't ask questions unless you know the answer to the question there.
Which is exactly what she tweeted afterward.
Yeah, yeah, just really not a smart move. All right, so we want to talk a little bit about healthcare and what happened on Friday and why, as conservatives, we should be fine with this. This was a defeat of a non-conservative bill. This was something that if Barack Obama would have landed on, because he actually negotiated with the right, we would have hated it.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in it that made this better. It just made Obamacare Trump care. Well, I don't want Trump care. I don't want our fingerprints on something that's still going to explode. Let me give you a couple of things. Trump's choice on Obamacare, sabotage or co-op. This is from a political commentary. I believe this is New York Times. President Trump, Republican-led Congress, tried and failed to repeal the Affordable Care Act. No, they didn't. They did not try to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That is to saying that they tried to repeal
it. They did under Obama, but that's not what they tried to do here.
Not what they tried to do here. And to say that Trump tried to repeal Obamacare is as much of a lie or a spin as saying it's the Affordable Care Act. It's not affordable. They repealed it. If you leave out the word repeal. Here's what they're saying now. Mr. Ryan is now saying that it's exploding.
Yeah, well, it is exploding. I mean, it is a disaster. Mm-hmm. We all know that the ACA is a disaster.
Okay, so here's a couple of things that you need to know. A fight in court cases on subsidies. The decision has to be made on subsidies. House argued that the money for the subsidies not properly authorized. White House fought the case. It's not clear whether Donald Trump is going to fight or not. Without the subsidies, all of the insurers will lose some money and small insurance carriers will face bankruptcy. This, I believe, was designed in the first place. Now, the New York Times is asking the question, hey, was this sabotage? Did Trump sabotage this? Wants it to blow up? Trump did the Democrats. Why would the Democrats not do it the right way so they know that it is going to blow up within 3 years of being introduced? There's also the individual mandate, whether to recruit insurers to participate in markets where competition is thin.
Yeah, this is where they're kind of talking about what Trump's next step is, and does he actually help? Because the argument is he can go and try to fix the problems that even the left is now admitting exist in Obamacare. Look, we can go fix these things. Let's put a little layer of paint on this thing and let it go. He can go that way and work with Democrats. Or the other thing they're saying is he could just, for example, not fight this lawsuit, which would hurt the Obamacare insurers. More would drop out and it would become even a bigger disaster.
So which only leads to single payer healthcare.
You hope not, right? The whole point is it's when you have a Republican president and a Republican House and a Republican Senate, it's not supposed to lead to single payer healthcare.
But Bernie Sanders, being the only real honest broker
on the left,
just announced the plan.
Now, as you indicated, of course, Obamacare has serious problems. Deductibles are too high. Premiums are too high. The cost of healthcare is going up at a much faster rate than it should. Ideally, where we should be going is to join the rest of the industrialized world and guarantee health care to all people as a right. And that's why I'm going to introduce a Medicare for All single-payer program. Short-term, this is what we can do.
It's coming.
That's exactly
what
we're trying to do.
Do you have the Trojan horse stuff from, I think it was Gruber, that did the Trojan horse, and we played this at Fox over and over and over again.
Someone once said to me, this is a Trojan horse for a single payer. And I said, well, it's not a Trojan horse, right? It's just right there. I'm telling you. We're going to get there.
I was like that clip.
We're going to get there.
Yeah,
I like that clip because it's the actual honest moment.
Right.
And he's admitting not Gruber, though. It's another guy. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. But they're admitting that, yes, this is a Trojan horse. It's going to fail. And when it does, the answer will be single payer health care. It is It is my feeling that Donald Trump, who is for single-payer health care, whether he knows that this was a Trojan horse or not, I don't know. But he's going to be fine with letting it fail and letting it go into a bigger...
I hope not.
System. Well,
I mean, you know...
I mean, listen to his words.
But, I mean, you know, look, I mean, there's an argument to be made that...
Spicer said over the weekend that Donald Trump should not be taken figuratively. He should be taken literally. He wants to be taken literally.
Yeah, however, he did not say he wants to let it fail and go into a single payer
system. No, he did not.
He did not. So the theory being, because I think you could argue...
No, what he said was back in September during the campaign, he said, September of 2015, he said he wants government to take care of everyone.
Yes.
Now, even if that cost him votes, he was willing to go for it.
However, this plan that he just backed didn't do that.
No.
So, I mean, this is another defunct promise.
I don't think he cares. I don't. I really
don't. He cares about the win.
He cares about the win. And he's lost. And the people who lost him are lost it for him, he believes, are now on an enemies list. So he's looking for a way to win.
Yeah, and look, this happens with the Freedom Caucus as well. It's not just people going left, it's people going right. When they went down to the end of this negotiation, they tried to get the Freedom Caucus people on. One of the things they wanted was not to have to guarantee things like maternity care for old men who are not going to have any babies. That didn't have to be part of the program. They wanted to leave that to the states. They weren't even saying it was unnecessary. They just said we're going to leave it to the states. That's what the Freedom Caucus wanted. And they gave in on that. The reason they gave in on it is because Donald Trump doesn't care if it's in there or not. He does not care what is in this bill. And it obviously it does not at all do the things that he said he wanted in the campaign at all. That bill didn't do those things. It wasn't even close to doing those things. However, he just wants to be able to say he wants.
So people, because I want people to feel comfortable that the non-passage of this bill was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, what Donald Trump does now, he's going to the left and embracing Democrats. Okay, well, at least you still have your soul. You still have your principles. You still have your word. You know, at least you can say, I was consistent. I didn't vote for any of this. It was wrong. And I didn't go along with the rest of society over the cliff. It was wrong. That's important when the thing resets. But I want you to feel comfortable that you know this was not good. This bill was just not good.
Yeah, we'll give you some of the similarities here. For example, and it's a great example of something we've talked about a million times, by the way, on things like global warming. The left says we got to do something. And the question to be asked is that something worth doing?
Right.
And yes, this is something. However, is it worth doing? For example, they take the subsidies that are currently going through Obamacare, and they're based on income. And what they did is they changed them so that they are instead based on age. Now, they're a little bit cheaper. It is a smaller subsidy, so that's obviously a step in the right direction, obviously. Though I would argue, actually, the Obamacare approach is better. I mean, it's better to give, if you want to give away free money, it shouldn't be based on age. It should be based on income. I mean, if you're a rich older person, you shouldn't be getting these subsidies, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Bill Gates should not get subsidies through GOP care. That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be based on age. It should be based on income if you're going to give it away, but that's a whole other problem. You probably shouldn't be giving it away in the first place, except in very limited circumstances. The Cadillac tax, first of all, they kept the Cadillac tax and they just delayed it. So again, huge. What was one of the biggest things we whined about with Obamacare was the Cadillac tax. Then they also put in another similar type of tax that would do roughly the same thing. The reason why they did that is because they knew it was so unpopular with so many powerful groups that in the end, it would wind up being thrown out anyway. However, they'd get the wonderful benefit of getting a better CBO score when they actually released the bill. Completely cynical, completely dishonest. And the exact same approach Democrats took when they went through Obamacare. Lying is what we called it then. Okay. I know now we call it maybe a different approach or the same approach. It was lying. Okay. They were lying to try to make it look better than it was. You know, the whole now some of the taxes were gone. However, the individual mandate was what? It wasn't a mandate. It was either get insurance or pay a fine. Okay? The new plan for the GOP was either get insurance or pay a fine if you have a break in your insurance. So you can never get insurance and not pay a fine. Okay? But if you get insurance for a short time and it lapses, then you have to pay the fine. Which is a bizarre way of dealing with it. And it's a 30% premium, by the way. As they will allow insurance companies to charge you a 30% premium. And if you're a true free market advocate, you might notice the problem with the government telling insurance companies they will allow them to charge a 30% premium. Is it the government's role to tell insurance companies what they will allow them to charge people? It's a whole nother layer of issues with it. The question shouldn't be who should we blame that bill failed. It should be who should we praise that bill failed. It was a terrible strategy. It was a terrible idea. And the truth is, the fact that they're giving up shows you they were lying the entire time. Remember, they said they were going to go through a three-phase program here to get all the stuff you really wanted in there. Look, the first bill is not going to have everything in there. We have three phases here, three wonderful phases. You're going to get all the things that you want, are we? They bailed. The second phase one got hard. The second phase one became difficult. They didn't say, okay, look, we got to go back to the drawing board and come up with something new. They said, we're moving on. It's over. You had your chance. Now it's over. Is that someone who's actually dedicated to getting rid of Obamacare? And this is not just Trump by any means. It's Ryan and it's the leadership. They all did this to themselves. There was no reason to have this fake deadline on Friday. There was no reason for it. They just tried. They thought they could negotiate their way. The master negotiator could push this thing through
and
by setting a false deadline
and
bully everyone into it. And it failed. They flopped on their faces. The one thing we were supposed to get out of this president was this incredible negotiator. And they tried it and it failed. If they instead had said, look, we're close on votes. We're not quite there. When you're going to take this off the table for a little bit, work on something else and come back to it in a month and rework some of the stuff. It wouldn't have been a failure.
It would have been a delay,
a going back to the drawing board. It wouldn't have been the best news in the world, but it wouldn't have been this, which is a complete disaster. And now they're acting as if we're not going to get anything done. Why aren't you putting up the 2015 full repeal bill right now, today, this week, to pass it? If you can't pass it, fine. Then you'll have an argument to come back to us and say, hey, you know what? We couldn't get that one done. What can we do? What can we fix? What can we improve? What taxes can we cut?
Why they didn't start or come about today with the tax plan is beyond me. Because that's something we can all agree on. Look, I would like a flat tax.
Or a zero. Actually, I'd like a zero.
I'd like it abolished.
Yes.
Okay, so I'd like it abolished. I'll take a flat tax. I'll be okay with paying 30% down from 39. You take 39% income tax and bring it to 35. I'm not happy, but I'm still voting for it.
Yeah, that's important too, because they keep saying, well, tax reform is going to be even harder. Look,
tax reform, as long as it's going down, it's going to get all the Republicans.
There are very few people coming out here arguing for a 0% income tax. I love it, would love it, but no one's arguing for it. It's not in the normal conversation. Okay. It wasn't that there was no one arguing for the repeal of Obamacare. The same Congress passed it 60 times. They were the ones saying we could get no Obamacare. And then they came back and gave us 75% of Obamacare. That is not good enough. Now, with a tax system, we will accept, I think, a lot more easy to accept a
compromise. Is it going down? Yes. Good. I'll take it.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
A couple of stories worth mentioning that we really need to get back to later in the show. Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff says that we have to now phase out $150 and $20 bills. That's 97% of all currency.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
It's bad. Well, good thing is Wisconsin is putting people in jail for, you know, for selling butter that hasn't been graded. You know, you want to get those butter smugglers away. Yes. The problem with butter is...
It's a threat to our democracy.
It really is.
Even though we don't have a democracy.
The U.S. Navy has a growing problem. They just... out of 100 Navy women, 16 have now had to be reassigned from ships to shore duty because of pregnancy. This is the first time we've had a problem. It's growing. And maybe there's a reason for not having men and women on the ship together. Or it could have been something in the water. I'm not really sure. Also, the churches in England are starting to have a surge of new baptisms. Where are they coming from? Muslim refugees. A side of the story you have not heard. It's exclusive on the on glennbeck.com. We'll get to that and so much more, including Ted Koppel. Begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Yesterday, I saw a thing on Ted Koppel and Sean Hannity having it out. And Sean has said, you know, look, he's edited 45 minutes of this. You know, CBS should release the 45 minutes so it's fair, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to let Ted Koppel and Sean Hannity handle that. I went back and I watched the full 8 minutes on CBS Sunday morning, and there's some really good points and some really bad points on both sides of the argument. It has nothing to do with Hannity. They talked to and talked about everybody in the media. And I thought it was really worth going over because... both sides have it wrong here. Listen, we have it from the beginning, Pat?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take it from the beginning. This is CBS Sunday morning.
The alt-left propaganda, destroy Trump media, continue to ignore facts and what has clearly now become a political witch hunt.
That is Sean Hannity's television program on Fox has a nightly audience of 2.9 million viewers. He has, from the first, promoted Donald Trump and a highly partisan agenda.
Honestly, I think liberalism has to be defeated. Socialism must be defeated in a political sense. This is not we don't want a revolution in this country.
What more do you want? You got the White House, you got the House, you got the Senate. Okay.
And then we have angry snowflakes, and then we've got a Democratic establishment. I say the press in this country is out to destroy this president.
Well, the president's real troubles, again today, were not with the media, but with the facts.
It's absolutely crazy. He keeps repeating ridiculous throwaway lines that are not true at all.
I think this president is somewhat indifferent to things that are true or false.
Stop. This is true. I hate to agree with Fareed Zakaria, but this is true as well.
Yeah, he definitely throws things out that he's hoping are going to stick to the wall.
Yes. He spent his whole life bullshitting. He has succeeded by bullshitting.
They live in two separate worlds.
Stop.
And they don't
understand Trump's. That's what Rush is going to say. Rush is right as well. Mm-hmm. So Fareed and who is the other guy from Fox News?
Shepard Smith.
Those two were right. But so is Rush Limbaugh.
Definitely.
They're not saying the same thing here. One is saying that there's facts that Trump just throws out that are just not true. They're just not true. And that's verifiable in 100 different cases. What Rush is saying is there are two different worlds here, and the media does not understand the Trump world.
And that's definitely
true.
Understand Trump's.
Rush Limbaugh had a lot to do with creating those two separate worlds.
Now listen to this.
I don't buy that.
Listen to this.
He couldn't have done it until 1987, when the Federal Communications Commission did away with the so-called Fairness Doctrine.
Which was what?
The Fairness Doctrine basically said that people on radio and television, if they presented one political point of view, had to balance it with the opposite political point of view.
Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program, a program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans and those who want to be either or both.
Free of the stop. Fairness
now
doctrine.
Now, that's old tape.
Really old.
That
had to be late 80s.
Yeah, of Rush Limbaugh saying that.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that. Do you notice that the media never brings up the Fairness Doctrine? Well, first of all, the Fairness Doctrine is a thing of the past and is completely a moot point because of the internet. Everybody's opinion can be heard and could be found. So
what
it's
a
ridiculous.
Stupid point, though, to bring up. And again, Ted Koppel.
And Koppel's
makes
on
some
this
good
crusade
points in here too.
Right now. He's really on a Fairness Doctrine crusade.
But the
he doesn't know how beyond that.
He doesn't know how to deal with it. He talked to me a few weeks ago. I did CBS Sunday Morning as well. And he talked to me and he said, you know, how do we find people we trust? Maybe we should license people. Ted, no, we should not have a federal license for journalists.
No.
You're missing the point. There's something new. It's called the internet. We just have to learn how to be responsible with this new toy.
Yet another example of, because the left hasn't made, I think they've even given up on this argument at this point, the Fairness Doctrine. But it was something they were taking pretty seriously in the early 2000s, even before the internet really took off. And it's like you realize now how silly these arguments are. They're constantly trying to lock in with a license what the market will take care of anyway. It's the same thing with all sorts of different technologies. And once again, we see it here.
It's interesting, too, to note that Koppel only goes after the right. He doesn't say anything about the MSNBCs of the world who are completely biased on the left.
Look, you have, Keith Olbermann. What Keith Olbermann did during the Bush administration couldn't have been done during the Fairness Doctrine time either. But nobody seemed to have a problem with that. And nobody ever says, what did Keith Olbermann cause?
Yeah,
when I showed up on the scene,
one-sided.
They never went to him and said, did you cause Glenn Beck, Keith Olbermann? You could have easily asked him that. Because in some ways, yes, I was a response to Keith Olbermann.
And it's weird because the way the Fairness Doctrine was applied back when it was in force, you didn't have commentators saying both sides of the issue. You just have like Rush Limbaugh on his show from 9 to noon or whatever it is, and then you'd have a liberal from noon to 3. So they balanced it that way, and it made no sense from a radio station standpoint.
Radio stations,
nobody wanted to hear that.
No radio station could survive doing that.
No.
It couldn't survive.
That's why talk radio didn't explode until after the Fairness Doctrine.
Right. Because you had the right to be who you wanted to be.
Yeah.
But that requires you to be responsible. Now listen to the rest of this.
Rush Limbaugh and conservative talk radio exploded into a political force of nature.
Now you take...
Yes, it exploded
did.
Into a... Because people wanted to hear it now.
Yeah.
People wanted to hear
it. They had never heard... I mean, you have to put yourself back at this time. Nobody had a platform as a conservative. Nobody. So you couldn't stand up and really make the case for Ronald Reagan until the time when Ronald Reagan's presidency was almost over.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rush came onto the scene, it was explosive because nobody had said these things before. It's exactly the same reason and the same way that Howard Stern came on as a force. And I think Howard Stern had as much to do with the changing of the culture in the media as Rush Limbaugh or anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first Howard Stern presidency. This is a guy, our president, who learned how to deal with the media from Howard Stern, listening and being a part of that radio show. Howard Stern is, this president is our Howard Stern president. And I'm not making a judgment, good or bad. You do that. But when Howard Stern came on, it was just like Rush Limbaugh. Nobody could say these things. He did. He was the first to say them. Of course they're going to explode.
Yeah, no question.
There's more.
Well, that's as much as I put in there. Yeah.
Okay. So they go on.
He goes on to say that Sean Hannity is bad for America. Now, he's not making that accusation against the Keith Olbermans of the world. Why not? The Bill Maher's of the world. They are as partisan, if not more so, on the left than any of us on the right are. But that's perfectly fine to him.
You don't hear anybody saying this about Bill Maher.
Never. Well,
I mean, and the bottom line is, when Republicans are in charge, they see that opposition as a vital part of our democracy, as they would use that term. When Barack Obama's in charge, they look at it as a speed bump. Why are these people in the way of all this wonderful progress? Now, they're not saying, I don't even think that that's overt, I think, a lot of times. I don't think that they're thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute. No. That's just their worldview. They come from that position. So it's difficult for them, I think, to separate it. Some do it. Some journalists are able to accomplish that. But if you can't see the partisanship on the left, I mean, you're completely blind. You're completely blind. And Koppel does point that out. I mean, he says all opinion shows. He doesn't like the genre of opinion shows, which is a pretty extreme position to take in the United States, which has had the editorial page of newspapers going back to our founding. I mean,
The problem is the editorial page has taken over the front page. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because news has, nobody wants to risk. Nobody wants to do the right thing if it is a risk to themselves. You're not going to see anybody at CNN stand up and say, wait a minute. What have we done? Let's lower the temperature. Let's not put on so many flamethrowers. Let's reduce the arguments on CNN. You're not going to see them do that because they're having record ratings because they're arguing and they've got flamethrowers on both sides. Flamethrowers will do two things. They will get you ratings, and then they will also burn your house down to the ground. I'm out of the burn your house down to the ground business. I don't want to be a part of that business. Ted Koppel said, you know, people like you, and he's referring to Hannity, but he's referring to people like us. People like you have made ideology more important than facts. Well, I think we saw that during the last election. I think we're seeing that now, even with Obamacare. The facts are that is not a conservative bill. That was not repealing Obamacare. No matter what anybody tells you, there was no repeal of Obamacare there. There was prop Obamacare up and make it a little more palatable. Emphasis on a little more palatable for the right. That's I want my team to win. I want my team to control the government healthcare system.
It's so clear that's true, too, because the Democrats are saying, well, yes, there's problems with Obamacare, but we just need to fix those. That's essentially what this bill did, and every single one of them voted against it, which shows you it's completely partisan. They're just playing for their team. They don't care about reality in any way. They just want the win.
And repeal is great, and it would be great if this terrible bill were repealed. However, that should not be the goal. The goal should not be to roll things back to 2008. The goal should be to improve things as they were in 2008. I mean, Paul Ryan, I mean, as bad as he was on this, there was a time that he was actually advancing real conservative ideas. That guy seems to have dropped off the planet.
Yeah, remember when he first came on the scene?
Yeah.
We liked him a lot.
I mean, he gets worse and worse every year.
They always do.
They always do.
Yes, they do.
They always do.
They plot they plan how to get these guys. You know, how do you capture them for the progressive big government? It is why term limits are absolutely imperative.
Did you ever think we would see a time when we this vehemently disagreed with Ted Poe? Like Ted Poe, he's got to have like a 99% conservative rating with with Heritage and Freedom Works. I would think, how is he on board with that crappy bill?
Yeah, his argument was they listened to him. He said the reason they had the Freedom Caucus in the first place is because the Freedom Caucus people never got a seat at the table. This time they let him have a seat at the table. And they added a couple things to this bill that were good. And then we vote no?
Yes.
Well, yeah, if the whole bill still sucks, whether you got a couple good things mm-hmm. in there or not is does not mean anything. I mean, you know, the bill in and of itself was, I believe, and some people disagree with this, but I believe a slight improvement of Obamacare. It's a little bit better. The taxes are lower. That, you know, health savings counts are there. There's a little bit less spending. I mean, there are some things in there that
depends
are positive.
On what you say better. I mean, by making it last a little longer and by making it a little more palatable because lower taxes, if you call that better, great. I call that worse.
I mean, I think that it's better in that, you know, it is costing us less money, which is important. It is taxing us less, which is important. There are regulation cuts. The individual mandate is probably the most offensive part of this. And while it's still kind of in there, it's not in there as offensive. But let me give you this stat, Glenn. When Obamacare was passing, they said, if you don't do anything at the end of this term, I think it was 2019 or something, it was 52 million people will be without insurance, or 54 million people. With the AHCA, this Obamacare light thing, it was 52 million. So you've passed a giant piece of entitlement and locked it in because the Republicans are the ones that have done it if this bill had gone through. And what have you done? You've 2 million people that would be insured that wouldn't otherwise be insured a few years later? I mean, that is, you've spent the money and done nothing. At least liberals will go in there and spend the money and say they got more people insured. You haven't even insured more people and you're spending the money. It makes absolutely no sense. It's a bizarre half measure. Why not go for something that's better than our old system? Why not improve it?
Well,
and they won't do that.
We won't do it because people are not intellectually honest. They're not honest with each other and they're all playing teams. I don't want to play teams anymore. Don't want to play teams anymore. If you're with us, you're in the right place.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. We've got a couple of things we really have to get to. One is that the modifications to your body that they say are coming in the next 10 years. They are remarkable. And we better decide whether we want those things happening or not, because Silicon Valley is now looking to eliminate death. And they define death differently than I think you define death. And we'll go over that coming up.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, there was quite a big announcement on Friday that had nothing to do with Obamacare, had a little something to do with Hillary Clinton's campaign, and that is that Pizzagate has finally been cleared up for all of those people that believed in Pizzagate.
Pizzagate, of course, was where Hillary Clinton was running this, essentially a whorehouse out of a pizza restaurant in Washington.
Child whorehouse.
Yes. And then there was a series of incredibly complex tunneling underneath.
Yes.
Is where they would come and go, and you'd see them go in but never come out because they went out through the tunnels.
Of course. And of course, if you ordered like a, you know, Hawaiian with extra cheese.
That meant...
I don't know what it meant. Maybe a little.
You wanted a Polynesian child.
A little Polynesian child with a little extra chunk to them or something. Right. I don't know.
That is legit. I mean, legitimately, they had each flavor.
They had the whole list. And there's a big announcement from the guy who is one of the lead flag wavers for this.
Oh, no. In issuing the statement, we are not admitting that Mr. Alifanis or his restaurants have any legal claim. We do not believe they do. But we are issuing this statement because we believe it's the right thing to do. It will be no surprise to you that we will fight for children across America.
That's no surprise.
The Pizzagate narrative, as least as concerning Mr. Alifanis and Comet Ping Pong.
At least as far as concerning him. I mean, the whole thing may be true outside of this one guy who's about to sue us into oblivion. But he has nothing to do with this particular thing.
Right.
Everything else is true.
And this is obviously Alex Jones, the ridiculous conspiracy theorist. But obviously, having a severe threat of a lawsuit, as you can tell, he's reading this hostage statement.
Well, and this is one of the dumbest conspiracy theories.
Well, he's
ever
never met
devised.
A conspiracy that he doesn't like.
No, he sure hasn't. Everything's a conspiracy to him. And he doesn't even believe in Muslim terror. That's all perpetrated by the government.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't buy into Muslim terror.
9/11 was an inside job.
Right.
Right. And that's where it all stems from.
False flags. We're blaming things on Muslims so we can go to war with them. That's not a real thing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We have subsequently determined was based upon what we now believe was an incorrect narrative.
Oh, no.
Despite the fact that we were far from the genesis of this story, it is never easy to admit when your commentaries are based on inaccurate information.
So wait a minute. So the guy who showed up with a gun at the pizza parlor, I'm hoping he's heard this now, too.
Yes.
Alex has said, oops, I guess we were listening to the wrong person.
And to be clear, the guy with the gun figured it out before Alex, because he left there realizing there was nothing to it.
Yeah, he went there to kill them, and then he realized, I don't think there's a tunnel system underneath
it's just
this.
A pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Okay.
We feel like we owe it to you, the listeners, viewers, and supporters, to make that statement. And to give an apology to you and Mr. Alifanis when we do. We encourage you to hold us accountable because we improve when you do.
That's really good.
I mean, and this, that first of all,
here's how, now I don't know how seriously he took it because he was wearing his shirt when he read that.
We have that confirmed?
We have that confirmed.
Okay.
He was wearing a shirt. Usually when he really means something, he rips his shirt off.
Yeah,
he must not have had a steak the night before and wasn't feeling that testosterone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is it steak that makes him feel like that?
Steak and jalapeno peppers.
Oh, also, wait a minute. What about his supplements? His supplements are a big part of that.
Could be that. Sure. Or it just could be bipolar, roid rage. It could be possible
that they sold so much male vitality formula that they had none left for him. Because I mean, that could be the problem.
That could be.
This is a monumentous occasion here. The fact that this is a man who said, you know, Sandy Hook didn't happen.
It was a false flag.
It was obviously fake with fake actors. I mean,
and the children were all fake.
And he denied saying that, but he's on record saying it.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't.
When you say record,
you mean YouTube.
Yes.
Yes.
But I mean, that's his record.
Yes. Right.
The point is, he doesn't back down from these things. And you might say, well, hey, it's a good thing. He's finally admitting one of these things is fake. I think it's the exact opposite. The reason he said anything is because he never had any consequences to it. He's now been so mainstreamed by certain members of
Donald Trump,
that he now is in the position where people care enough about what he says to get lawsuits that he has to apologize for. This is him being mainstreamed and the result of it, which is really a terrible development for our country.
This is so, I mean, you know, you want to talk about conspiracy theories. This pizza thing is just outrageous. And by the way, his people say that I know about Pizzagate and I've either been bought off or I'm a part of it. So
I wonder if maybe they'll back off that claim now.
No.
I mean, doesn't that illegitimize everything else he said surrounding this Pizzagate nonsense?
No, because he said... No.
Oh, at least it applies to Mr. Kalinakis or whatever his name is.
Right.
Yeah.
So
whereas it applies to you, it's still
What he's saying here is I still believe in Pizzagate, just not going through this pizza parlor. There's another one with secret tunnels.
This is just so stupid. It's so ridiculous.
Have you met people who believe in it?
I don't think so.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I have. I've met people.
Smart, reasonable people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I've laughed at them. They're like... Tell me about Pizzagate. I know, right? I'm sorry, what? Because they'll look at you like, why are you laughing? And you'd be like,
gotta be kidding.
No. You know, I don't know about the pizza parlor. You know, I don't know about all that. But I believe this stuff is happening.
Wow.
Come on.
That's unbelievable.
Come on. It is not happening.
But we know that Alex Jones feels deeply about these things, and it pierces him to the core.
And feel what the children are feeling.
He feels things. Oh,
no. God almighty.
Yeah.
Folks, we gotta get good people to stand up against these people. I probably shouldn't even have done this radio show today.
Already
because
did.
I have this disgusted cover.
Disgusted.
For how I just hate the globalists, but it's more than
globalists.
That.
The globalists.
And I just get flippant and angry, but it's because deep down, folks, I can see what they're doing, and we have a responsibility
right.
to stop these globalists.
Globalists.
Where are the men in this country?
Where are the
men in this world? What the hell have we become?
The men.
We just offer our children up to the system with the fluoride and the water and the GMO hurting them.
What about
we
the airport?
Fat perverts grab them at the airport to train them for the pedophile government.
Damn it.
Oh, and we've just got such a sick society.
Oh, my gosh. We just offer our kids up to the water with the fluoride. I mean, just that in and of itself is like, what? I'm pretty cool with not having cavities. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad there's fluoride in the water.
You bastard. I can't believe you just said that.
Well, right?
Oh, my gosh. This man is pro-fluoride. He's pro-fluoride.
CIA.
He's in bed with Crest.
Or Colgate.
No.
Actually, Crest and Colgate probably don't want fluoride in the water because then you'd have to get it from them.
Right?
Maybe Alex Jones is in bed with Crest.
Well, I'm only pro-fluoride because it makes the frogs gay.
Oh, well, that's true.
That and Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
You put Prozac in, and frogs just start to off themselves.
Well, they walk right up to Shiegels. They walk right up to Shiegels.
Seagulls. That's right, Seagulls.
And offer themselves up to the Shiegels, who just eat them. So they're committing
suicide by suicide. It's like death. You've heard seagull. Of death by cop.
Yeah, this is death suicide by Seagull.
Yeah.
But the real question is, where are the men?
Thank you.
Where are the? They've all been killed by toothpaste. None of them call me back. Where are the men?
Oh, boy. Oh, and now man. This. We live in a country where we depend on our employer. We depend on our government to dictate our health care. How's that turning out? Not real great, is it?
Starting tomorrow, in an exclusive serial on the Glenn Beck Program, you'll learn about the history of the Democratic Party. Listen live or online at glennbeck.com/serials.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So, much to my chagrin, because I just didn't believe this was true, what Stu was saying, that this was this apology on the Sonic Ping Pong Pizzagate thing from Alex Jones was perhaps due to some litigation.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It was the same day, the guy who went in with the gun to Comet Ping Pong, which, by the way, I will say, I went to the website. Looks like they have pretty damn good pizza.
Does.
I will say, it actually looks good. Mm. However, so this guy, his name is Welch, last name is Welch. He went to Comet Ping Pong.
With a rifle,
and shot it a couple of times, did not kill anyone, went to investigate it. And to his, I guess, credit, when he realized that it was a total BS conspiracy theory, walked out of there and said, wow, I was wrong, basically, and surrendered.
I strangely feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't crazy. He just bought into this stuff.
And if you believed it, you know,
that's what he said. Right. He said, I believed it. And what, I'm not supposed to go rescue these children?
It really is a weird, sad story. And again,
sad.
People are now, trying to say, because Alex Jones apparently told his listeners to go investigate this. And so, you know, people are trying to say it's his fault. Now, look, he's a commentator. He's as much as I don't want to defend Alex Jones in any way, he's not responsible for what one person of his audience goes and does. That being said, this apology from Alex Jones about Pizzagate, saying there was nothing to it at Comet Ping Pong, was on the same day this guy pled guilty, the guy who went in there with a gun. Now, he... I love this part of the story. So the guy who went in there with a gun is an Alex Jones listener. And this is what he told the New York Times. Alex Jones touches on some issues that are viable, but sometimes Jones goes off the deep end.
Sometimes.
So the guy with the gun who went to a pizza place to investigate,
he's calling him crazy.
He thinks Alex Jones is nuts.
Wow.
Which is pretty freaking amazing.
Wow.
But, I mean, this is a pretty big moment where you have Alex Jones apologizing for something.
But now, interestingly, not saying that Pizzagate is fake.
No, I think he's going to still try to keep it on people like Hillary Clinton. Because the thing is, the government, and no, she's not in the government right now. But when you're alleging the government is involved in these things, the government's not going to come sue Alex Jones over his 9/11 conspiracy theory. But these individual companies will. And, you know, I would be surprised if there's not a lawsuit against him. He said horrible things about this man. And now he's saying, well, it wasn't me. You've listened to the text that was obviously written for him by a lawyer as he reads it and says, well, look, we're not the genesis of this. We were operating on third parties' information. We now realize it was wrong, blah, blah, blah. And that can happen to a legitimate news source at times. Here is obviously a bizarre case. And, you know,
who are the people that he relied on?
Other nut jobs. You know, I mean, obviously no one with any credibility believed this Pizzagate thing for a second. There's nothing to it.
I couldn't believe. I've met two or three people that believe that. And one of them said, basically, they got to you, huh?
Like,
nobody's gotten to me. No, no, that Pizzagate thing is a lie.
Well, what about that $104,000 you got from Hillary?
No, that was a lie, too. So
what was it? $107,000? Is that what it was?
That wasn't a lie as much as it was a prank by someone who wanted to fool people who believe conspiracy theories,
which is actually
a very funny prank. I have to say, I mean, it sucks that you were the victim of it, but it was something I would love to do to, you know, liberal people who believe all this stuff all the time. It would be hilarious to post fake content and watch them believe it. And that's what someone on the left did to fool people who, you know, think that you're the devil, Glenn, which you are. Yeah, but
he was from the left and he was going after Donald Trump supporters and trying to prove how gullible Donald Trump supporters were. Mm-hmm. And so he made this ridiculous price list up of what she was paying all these people. And I think one of them was even dead or something.
Yeah, one of them was Acorn, which is a defunct organization.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, yeah,
I mean, it's not unusual for the Democrats to pay dead people to do stuff.
That's true. But there were people that were dead. It was an obviously fake list.
Ridiculous list.
That no one with any sense would believe. Mm-hmm. However, so many did. So many did.
And still do. And
probably still will after the Jones apology. Because they'll think, well, they made him do that legally. He had to do that so he won't get sued. But they'll continue to believe the story.
Yeah. And by the way, they pulled all their Pizzagate stuff down from the website.
Wow.
I mean, they are. Holy crap. We can't sell enough male vitality pills to pay for this lawsuit. Wow. We better apologize.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. When's that go to court? Do you know?
I don't off the top of my head. Well, they haven't filed an actual lawsuit yet.
Oh,
they just threatened and said, pull your stuff down, which they did. So maybe they won't get the lawsuit after all.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Can we talk about science for a minute and have a real conversation about being scientific? We are living in a world that is denying science
like I've never seen before. The only time the left wants to talk about science is when it comes to global warming. Other than that, get the hell out of the science business. It's amazing how disconnected so much of America is to not just the facts, but science itself. We talk about that with Melissa Harris Perry, beginning right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to play something with Melissa Harris Perry that she said on MSNBC over the weekend. I think you really need to hear this. Here she is.
Part of that was because it went a step too far, right? So on our uterus model, Nancy, you know, they have a little fertilized... Oh no, that might be bad. I seem to have popped open the fertilized egg. That's, we'll put that back together.
I think you're
okay. Right. But the very idea that this would constitute a person, right? And that some set of constitutional rights should come to this. Look, I get that that is a particular kind of faith claim. It's not associated with science.
Okay, she gets that a fetus being... human is some sort of particular faith-based claim, but nothing to do with science? That's a human being?
But the reality is that if this turns into a person, right, there are...
If it turns into a... It could be a Volkswagen. Nobody knows. You might be giving birth to a Buick. And congratulations if you do, because that's going to save you a lot of money in the long run.
Economic consequences, right? The cost to raise a child, $10,000 a year, up to $20,000 a year. When you're talking about what it actually costs to have this thing turned into a human.
Wait. Hold on. I got to hear that one again.
I got to see that. Where do I get that discount?
That's the peak?
Yeah.
And it's $20,000 a year? Wow.
You have to hear what she's saying about that, too. So we'll go back to the beginning and play this.
Part of that was because it went a step too far, right? So on our uterus model, Nancy, you know, they have a little fertilized... Oh no, that might be bad. I seem to have popped open the fertilized egg. That's, we'll put that back together.
I think you're okay.
Right. But the very idea that this would constitute a person, right? And that some set of constitutional rights should come to this. Look, I get that that is a particular kind of faith claim. It's not associated with science. But
hey,
the reality
stop there.
Is.
Stop there. This is the happiest day of my life.
Really?
Happiest day of my life.
Okay.
Because. I'm practically a hoarder, okay? But I don't hoard like newspapers. I hoard cool stuff.
You do hoard newspapers as well, but you also
hoard but those stuff. Are in other places that nobody ever sees. So I'm a hoarder. I like cool stuff. And by the way, the newspapers aren't just any newspapers. They're like Kennedy was shot newspapers.
No, so. You also went through a phase where you were putting every news story that you did that you thought was important into a box for your children?
Yeah, well, I did. Well, that's not hoarding. That's
hoarding.
That is history for my kids. Anyway, this is a different story. So maybe I'm losing end of that argument. I was in New York about 5 years ago, and I walk into this antique store, and they had a bunch of these, and they were missing a few pieces. And I bought the whole thing, and my wife said to me, "What the hell are you going to do with that?"
Those are cool, though.
Yeah, they're cool, aren't they?
Yes.
And I said, "Are you kidding me? These are the coolest things ever." And she said, "Again, what are you going to do with them?" And I said, "I don't know, but someday they'll become..." And today is that day.
It's very exciting.
This is very exciting.
This is the day your ridiculous purchase was justified?
Yes! Today is the day that I can say to my wife, "Remember that? Remember that? Came out. And it was this was the greatest ever. I could make the..." Let me just say this. These are models for biology. Jewel. And what they used to make these in the 20s through the 50s. And what they are these little things that show the scientific patterns of life. Okay?
It's the progression of the fetus,
the human,
right?
Zygote. Yeah. Okay. So this is, I don't have the number one, and I'm missing, I think, like number 10.
So you bought an incomplete set?
We said it was incomplete. You said you didn't have them all.
I got a discount.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I mean, I said to them, I said, you don't have number one and number 11. What am I going to do with number without well, number one and number 11? Anyway, so this is the egg, as you can see, has been fertilized. Okay? So this is the human egg as it has been fertilized. Then the egg starts to separate. The cell starts to separate, and then it separates again and again and again and again. Here we can see the inside of the fertilized egg. Then it really starts to break up into multiple cells, and here it is as it's about to turn into the human zygote. This is the beginning of the fetus. This started here. Now, I can give her the benefit of the doubt when she says, if this turns into a human, because...
And you have to hear the way she puts that. Listen
to this. That if this turns into a person, right, there are economic consequences, right? The cost to raise a child, $10,000 a year, up to $20,000.
There's two things that she can... I mean, she cannot get away with... If this turns into a child.
And she goes on to say, if this thing turns into a human.
Play it.
Well, there's no way.
$1,000 a year when you're talking about what it actually costs to have this thing turn into a human. Why not allow women to make the best choices that we can?
Stop.
Wow.
So that's incredible. I mean,
if it's going to cost $10,000 a year, why not allow the life to end?
So hang on. Jeez. So hang on. Let's deal with two subjects, because what she's doing is she's mixing science and economics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? This thing, this fertilized egg, may not turn into this because a woman may flush it out of her system naturally.
Yeah, I don't think that's what she's saying.
She might miscarry. So I'm saying she may not say this, but... I'll give her the benefit of the doubt of if this thing turns into a human. Now, I'm not willing to say at what point this thing is not human.
Well, it's human from conception. It's human all the way along. There's nothing else it can possibly be.
Right.
It when can't she be says, vegetable product.
Right.
It can't be.
She says this thing. Well, okay, this fertilized egg is not a chicken yet. We don't say we're eating baby chickens. We're eating eggs.
Those aren't fertilized, but yeah.
Right. Okay, but still, it's
another comparison she draws.
Okay. So, but this would be, you would be eating a baby. This is an egg. This is a human zygote.
Yeah, but that's a fertilized egg, which is different.
Like well, I don't have number one. If I had number one, I would be able to make that case. I was
eggs.
Trying to. I was hoping that maybe you would give me the break that I was using number two instead of number one. But no, you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it. I would not do it.
He's very much like your wife, Tanya, who is not going to believe your explanation.
But I really
this is worth it.
Can you guys help me here?
Okay, yes,
I am really trying hard.
We're helpers.
To make this. This cost me like $300. This is the first time I've even had a chance to use it.
That's not bad for those.
Oh my gosh!
Not bad for those.
That's not bad for those.
You're right. What? I'll sell it to you for $250. I won't sell it for $250. Are you kidding me? I'm a hoarder. This will be in a box someplace when I die, and they'll be like, "What the hell was this guy all about?" Anyway.
I've got 1 in 11. I'll sell you for $500.
I just want you to know that this is a science. It says it on the little label. It is. Science. This isn't a religious study. This is a scientific study of how a human is made. The zygote does not number. That's number 14. Number 15 is not a bunch of broccoli. Number 15 is also not a Buick. It's not a stick of butter. It's not a cow.
We know that if you had number 15.
Right. We know that because this is called the human zygote. We all learned this, not in religious class. We learned this in science. How can she say that this is not scientific? You want to talk about science deniers?
This is scientific. If you now want to talk about economics, well, that's fine. But understand, you are now going down the path of the German eugenics society that talk about how many potatoes can a person produce. And if they can't produce enough potatoes, then they should be killed. Understand, the science part says this thing is a human. You're now entering into German studies of economics and the value of a human.
To be fair, it was also American of that era.
No, it came from America, yeah.
So
came from American progressives. But that's what you're doing. So don't tell me that this is religious. This is science. Take the emotion out of it. This is why we cannot have straw men arguments. We cannot have polarized name calling anymore. We can't do it anymore. Not that we ever thought it, that it was a good thing, never that we wanted to, etc., etc., but we have to break things down into the basics. She's making two arguments, maybe three, but she's conflating them all together. And she's saying, this isn't science. Yes, it is. So let's have the science discussion. Now, let's talk about the value of human life. She says $10,000. Do I hear $10,000 for a baby? If I could open up the auction right now, do you think I could hold a newborn baby in my hands and get $10,000? It's illegal, so you know. But could I get $10,000 and sell children on the air for $10,000 to loving couples? Yes, I could.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yes, I could.
You'd sell for much more than that.
What is the value of a human life? I don't think I'm qualified to put a value on human life. And I don't think, now this is religious, but I think I could make this just as a decent human being as well. I think that's beyond our grasp to say what a life is worth. Because what my life was worth 20 years ago is vastly different than what my life is worth today, except in the eyes of people who look beyond what you do, what you become. Is the president's life worth more than a citizen's life? If you answer that yes, then you don't understand our system. Is a baby's life worth more than an old person's life? If you answer yes, then you don't understand our system. All life is created equal. And this is its creation process as deemed by science, not by God. Science recognizes what I believe God has made. But this is a scientific method on how all men are created equal. So you're going to have the discussion of economics, which I find grotesque. And then you're also going to have the discussion about the woman's right to choose. I'm sorry. But a woman's right to choose is at the same time a man has a right to choose. But a man usually doesn't take it seriously because his body's not going to be the one that creates the human life. But the time to choose is the time you decide to have sex. That's when you're choosing. Right then. It is the only time we are co-creators. It is the only time. I cannot come up with a seed that grows broccoli. I can't make a tree. I can't produce a dog. But there is something inside of me, and there is something inside of a woman, that when we combine the two, we can create a human being.
and we want to cheapen that? I'm sorry, Melissa, but I'm really happy today. I don't think my wife is, but I'm really happy today. I stopped by that antique store there in New York City and bought this scientific model. By the way, they've been making these for about 100 years. If they've been updated and changed, so this somehow or another is not the process on how to make a human being, you can let me go. You can let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to let it roll that this science stands uncorrected. We
have won the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So it is zygote, which I don't say zygote because that infers that there could be a goat at the end of the story. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to tempt Melissa Harris Perry to another monologue by thinking it's a goat.
Right. Like, I can make a goat. No. No.
That is one of the strangest things. To say that it's not human and your reasoning is science is amazing. And then to say that if it is human, because essentially she's appealing to the right there, right? Look, if it is human, it's going to cost $10,000 a year.
Right.
Like,
that doesn't appeal to the right. That appeals
to... But
that's
what she's trying to do. She's saying...
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? That appeals to the darkest Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right, but she's saying, look, we all know it's faith. It's not science that this is a human. We all know it's faith. But even if you're one of those people, I mean, it's going to cost $10,000 a year. Shouldn't we let women make their choices?
No.
No. Human life is worth more than
$10,000. I don't understand this. There's something, should we allow people to make their own choices if they thought that you could engage in a infanticide, people like Peter Singer think that you can kill your child, I believe, up until 3 years old. And he later apologized and said, I don't want to put a date on it. It could be younger, it could be older. When your child recognizes that there is a tomorrow, mm-hmm. he says that's when it's a child. But so if somebody believed that I could just go into the crib and strangle my one-year-old, would we be okay with just saying, you know what? Hey, they have their opinion. No. If you believe, as I do, that it is a child, you're advocating for murder, not choice.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Together high school.
This is really amazing. This is really amazing. These are the next 10 human body modifications you can expect in the next 10 years. Listen to these. Tell me which ones of these you want. Microchips are not new, but the practice of routinely implanting them in humans is. Biohackers are enthusiastically getting chipped, many of them undergoing the do-it-yourself surgery in tattoo parlors. Small radio frequency identification RFID chips implanted in their heads or their wrists. These citizen cyborgs can already eliminate tedious rituals like carrying a wallet or keys. The chip can make tap-and-go payments and can be programmed to open a home or office door electronically. No more carrying keys, blah, blah, blah.
Is carrying a wallet a tedious ritual?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I've never found it to be.
Yes, it is.
You'll never have to worry about carrying your license or a passport anymore. You'll have your RFID chip on you.
I mean, I would like that.
With medical records becoming more pervasive, personal medical data can be stored on the RFID. You arrive at the emergency room. You need blood transfusion, allergic to certain medications.
It's all for your safety. You.
It's all there.
It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
You take it?
Nope.
Why not?
Well,
of course, you've got less animal. You would, of course, take it.
Why not?
Now, this is really, for you, this is only a religious
That's
thing.
That's all
right?
It is. Yeah.
If it wasn't religious, you'd take it?
Yeah.
Would you take it, Stu?
There'd be no reason not to. If you don't believe that's, potentially Mark of the Beast or whatever, why wouldn't you?
Well, there could be surveillance reasons, right?
Yes. Like, yeah, I guess so.
I guess
yeah.
With the government.
That's where I'm at, really.
They will always know where you are.
Right.
The argument can be made they already do.
They sure do.
You got your cell phone.
That's a good argument now.
You got your toll tag.
In today's world, you still have an opportunity to go away.
All of those movies where we've seen the future and they put chips in them, the first thing they always do is dig those chips out.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of a cave or something, and they're like, go to dig your chip out. And they're in there with pliers, you know.
Right.
If I remember
our digital angel talk, it integrated with your
yes.
Yeah. Which is, your I think so then instead of digging it
so
out, you just have to
dig it out.
Yeah, well, you can cut it off.
That would
you
hurt
can amputate.
You. Yeah.
I think eventually it gets to the point where that doesn't. You can't even do that. But still, I mean, that's not exactly.
No, the
a
only way it
process.
Would work is if it meshes with your system. Because if that's your key, you just cut off the hand of somebody who's rich and just go and take all their money or whatever it is.
You'd have to make that nut work if that happens.
Yeah, you have to make it so it's biological, so it meshes with you.
And
you know, to really make it work. Accelerated heart rate and everything else would shut down your banking systems. You couldn't make any major transactions with accelerated heart rates.
But I mean, we're still at the point where crimes go unsolved often. I mean, we talked about the guy who walked up to the back of an armored car and took $1 billion in gold in the middle of New York City.
Walked away
and made it all the way to Ecuador before they caught him. Now, I mean,
did he steal $1 million worth of gold?
$1 billion, wasn't it? $1 billion?
I don't know how much. I don't forget how much
that's
it was
a lot.
Worth.
But that's
it was
pretty heavy.
It was a cauldron of gold.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it was just this huge.
It was a
cauldron,
big bucket of gold. It wasn't. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a million.
What
was
it? $1 million of gold.
But
Sorry. But
it was just at the back of a truck, and he just walked. Boom, off he goes down the street.
86 pounds of gold flakes. Whatever that amounts
to. Who has a cauldron, besides a leprechaun, who has a cauldron
the back of, this
of
security
gold?
Security truck.
$1.6 million.
Now, there you go.
Sorry.
Yeah. But Stu's right. They've watched him. The cameras followed him down the streets. He made a few turns. He stopped, and then he disappeared. And then they followed him to Orlando. They thought he was in Orlando.
Took
then
him
they
a
thought
couple
he
weeks,
was in California.
They got him.
And he was on his way. He was making his trek back to Ecuador, back home.
Yeah. They got him, though.
Yes, they did.
They wouldn't have if you would have had the Harry Potter invisibility blanket. I'm just saying.
that's true, Glenn.
Next thing, it's exoskeletons. True. They say these are going to happen by 2020.
Exoskeletons.
Yes. These will be for, not for the average person, but these will be for military and for people who work like
that
in warehouses.
Stronger, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they will protect your back. So if you're doing heavy lifting every day, company will provide an exoskeleton.
Cool.
Yeah. It'll also go into people who can't walk. They instead of having a wheelchair, you'll
but
have
an
exoskeleton.
But that's not implanted, right? That's just
no,
on
that's
the
just
outside
on top.
Of your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Real-time language translation.
I love this.
Yeah. Artificial intelligence facilitating a whole new level of precision in this field. Wave of companies racing to bring even better products to the market. Crowdsources earbuds for $4 million, $2.99 a pair. You'll wonder whether human translators will be able to earn much of a living from here on out.
That's just a Star Trek Universal Translator thing.
Yeah, and all they
already
are, they're earbuds, and you put them in.
That's great.
And it translates whatever you're hearing.
What the heck?
Is that crazy?
That is
crazy?
Amazing.
Augmented vision. These are all things
now,
in the next 10
right
years.
Okay.
Yes.
10 years.
Within 10 years, they will be available for everybody. These are things that
they're there.
These
now.
Are things that they already have.
Yeah.
And they'll be on the market and they will be available to the mass within 10 years.
Mm.
Bionic eyes are already a thing. Currently used to treat hereditary and age-related macular degeneration. Rely on a camera mounted on glasses feeding inputs to electrodes attached to the retina.
Wow. Now, is that better than like the x-ray glasses you could buy in the back of a comic books? Is this an improvement on that
these
technology?
These are better than that.
Because those you can see through
x-ray glasses you can see through clothing, Glenn.
Which is, by the way, probably in this society not something you want.
Theoretical physicists say that we are also now beginning to aim for superhuman vision and maintains that we are well on our way. Telescopic contact lenses have already been developed, which can enable the user to zoom in and out with a wink. The technology was developed by the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Project, DARPA, and could be marketed to sufferers of macular dystrophy. As the technology improves and gets cheaper, it would eventually become the norm to have telescopic vision as well as other add-ons like night vision.
Yeah, they're trying to do like they do in Continuum, in the television show Continuum, where she has the computer readout, yes, printout, so you can see.
Well, that comes, that is next.
Okay.
Within 10 years.
They're finding it difficult to change it around.
Both Sony and Samsung have patented smart contact lens technology that record video by blinking. Augmented reality, Magic Leap. So this is the first time I've ever seen what Magic Leap is up to. Magic Leap is a company in Florida that they say everyone who goes into Magic Leap invests. And they're all like, $1 million minimum. Everyone who goes in there comes out saying, I've invested. And it is, they won't show the delivery system, but it is some delivery system, and this is the first time I've read that it's contact lenses, that puts virtual reality in front of you. So there's no need for screens, computers, televisions, anything.
Don't need to wipe the hand. You don't need to do any of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all in front of you.
Wow.
And you can take, I've seen the deals that you can take and say, if you wanted to watch television, you just take your hand in front of you and you just open up the television and then place it where you want in your field of vision.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty
Minority
amazing.
Minority reports.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Okay.
Jeez.
Another application of smart contact lenses developed at X Lab, otherwise known as Google X, capability to detect blood glucose levels in tears and alert the diabetic that you're low in blood sugar.
It'd be really hard to not pull the trigger on one of these things if you had a serious medical condition.
Yes.
And it would help it. I mean, something that could monitor, those types of things in real time.
I don't mind the contact thing at all.
Peter Diamantis, as long as you're not implanting it in me, I don't have a problem. Peter Diamantis says, the near future, these kinds of innovations will hail the end of PCs, smartphones, and screens as we know them. Soon you'll walk around with the equivalent of your smartphone inside of you, while the screen could be both everywhere and nowhere. Classic miniaturization and dematerialization in action. Next is 3D printed body parts. We have to come back up with this tomorrow. 3D printed body parts.
They're already doing that. I mean, I can get my knee replaced 3D printed now. All of that. I mean, the bones are easy.
They're talking now within 10 years. Vital organs like hearts, lungs, and kidneys.
Wow.
Smarter drugs. These are smart drugs. We'll get into some of these tomorrow. Let me just give you the rest of them. Brain-computer interfaces, which I can spend a show on that. Designer babies and enhanced sexual organs. And what they mean by that is this is a boom for the transgender people.
Ah.
That you will have a 3D printed organ and it will actually work. So they can actually change everything and the plumbing is all brand new. And it's your plumbing.
Jeffy?
I don't know how many I'm going to have, but I'll have several to change in and out.
It's... I don't think it'll work that way, but... don't think so.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Jeffy was headed towards kind of a happy place.
I was kind of going toward a happy place, and then you bumped me right now.
All right, so what was your happy place again?
Happy place was, it'll be okay. The robots, we won't get taxed. Everybody will get their general income, and everything will be fine.
Right.
Things are cheap. We're all good.
Because that's what
everybody's
got
their income.
That's what Bill Gates is asking for now.
To tax them.
To tax all robots.
But if they do that, that means that prices don't go down.
Correct.
Right?
So things won't be cheap.
Right.
Right.
So how do we live?
Right. We'll all have our basic guaranteed income of
$30,000
for each robot. That's not enough to live on.
Won't be enough to live on.
No.
So
doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't go together.
But the worst part of it is that we're actually trying to think of ways for artificial intelligence to serve us,
But if they truly are intelligent, why would they want to serve us?
Because we programmed it that way, Glenn. We're not going to program it anyway different.
Right. If they are, right. If they, why couldn't they rewrite their own program?
Because we programmed it that way, and they're not going to program it anyway different. That's it.
I mean, it just
seems, the only way, Glenn.
It just seems too simple.
It sure does.
Of an answer. All these guys have too simple of it. Well, it just won't happen. I'd like more on that. Because if they are intelligent, for instance, if we declare them life, and that is coming, it is coming.
That's a big leap. You're just jumping over there,
though. It's coming. When you able to tell the difference between a robot and a human, define life.
We're quite a ways from that, though.
Oh, I don't think so.
Maybe
20 years.
That you can't tell the difference between a robot and a human?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Jeffy buys some dolls that...
been working really hard. Aside from the dolls that I purchased, been working really hard.
And I'm saying on a conversation, Pat, I'm not saying that it's a robot that you can't tell is a robot. I'm saying conversation. Have a conversation with them. That's coming in the 20 years maximum. Where artificial intelligence...
I don't know a lot of robots that I could talk to, but...
I'm telling you, artificial intelligence, when it hits the point of singularity, it will leap forward in such a way that it will be like the robots or the artificial intelligence talking to children. And why, if we declare them to be life... Why would they not then say that I have a right to happiness? I have a right to pursue my own happiness, not to serve you. I mean, are we thinking this stuff through yet?
No.
Seem like it.
It doesn't.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.